There's been safety protocols. There's been some anxious moments. But they've been waiting for this opportunity that they're built for, to finally compete against another team. The National Hockey League has returned. Sit back and enjoy this one.
Lace up. Live hockey returns this weekend with a non-stop round-robin tournament leading into the playoffs. Ahead of the NHL's return, our Greg Wyshynski joins the show to explain why our neighbors to the north agreed to play host, and which teams are ready to face off in what promises to be a truly memorable battle for Lord Stanley's Cup. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Friday, July 31st. This is ESPN Daily. Greg, what is the best name of a hockey team in the history of the sport, and why is it the Seattle Kraken?
I was also partial to the Vancouver Millionaires back in the 1910s. That's a pretty stout name. That's got some swagger. Although, you know, again, adjusted for inflation, Millionaires back in the 1910s. I mean, what are we talking? But Kraken is an amazing name.
Greg Wyshynski covers the NHL for ESPN and is co-host of the hockey podcast ESPN on Ice. Well, as a lifelong Kraken fan, I'm disappointed that they're not launching in time for this incredible tournament. But I'll be scouting the competition and I'll be glued to my sofa because hockey is back this weekend. How do you feel about it?
Conflicted but hopeful.
NHL teams return to the ice today for the first time since March as the 24 teams that qualified for the expanded playoffs open two-week training camps.
I'm really impressed that they were able to pull it off. Keep in mind that it's not simply just the NHL and the players came together on a way to get back to finish the season in two hub cities, but it was also a thing where they had to complete and approve a collective bargaining agreement between the two sides en route there. So it was a big thing for them to come together and figure out all this stuff in the span of a few weeks. I'm conflicted because this is a global pandemic. I am often at war with myself as to whether sports should even come back. But I talked to a number of epidemiologists, medical experts, scientists over the NHL pause who told me, look, if you test with frequency, if you set very stringent protocols that everybody follows, and most importantly, if you cut off the teams and the players from the general public to the best of your ability, this could get pulled off.
So I want to talk to you about that plan, which seems to be going well so far, and the fact that it's in Canada. I also want to talk to you about the tournament itself, because it's a little bit confusing, Greg, because it's really two simultaneous tournaments before we get to the playoffs. Can you explain for people how it's all going to go down?
Normal NHL season, 16 teams advance to the Stanley Cup playoffs, 8 from the Eastern Conference, 8 from the Western Conference. Since the season was paused on March 12th, and a lot of teams were also within a reasonable distance of making the playoffs, the National Hockey League decided to expand its playoff base to 24 teams this season. So you get 12 out of the East, 12 out of the West. The top four teams in each conference are going to play a round robin against each other to determine seeding for the next rounds of the playoffs. The rest of the conferences, the 5 through 12 seeds, they're going to play in a qualification round. These are 5-game series between the teams. 5 plays 12, 6 plays 11, so on and so forth. And then the winners of these series will advance to the round of 16. The other wrinkle for hockey this time, for the first time in over 8 years, they will reseed the playoffs. So if you are the top seed in the conference, you will then play the lowest available seed. That is not how the NHL has done it since 2012. And then after this whole first round's done, we go back to the traditional round of 16 Stanley Cup playoff that everybody knows and loves. 7-game series en route to the Cup final.
You mentioned at the top that there's two hub sites. Both are in Canada. One is in Toronto. One is in Edmonton. Are the tournaments being played at two different sites? Is there travel back and forth? How is that all going to work out?
Yep, it's two different hub cities. The Eastern Conference is playing in Toronto. The Western Conference is playing in Edmonton. When we get to the conference final and the Stanley Cup final, the action will move from Toronto to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. So the final four in the NHL will all be in Edmonton. And that's partially done because the COVID-19 numbers in Edmonton and Alberta as the province have been very good throughout the entire pause. The NHL felt very comfortable moving its action there for the finality of its season.
Why was Canada cool with this, but not cool with the Toronto Blue Jays?
Hockey. And I think the protocols that the NHL put in place, working with Health Canada, working with the CDC here in the States, presented a plan in which they were comfortable with allowing this to happen, whereas obviously the Blue Jays are going to be traveling around and having teams come in and out of the city based on Major League Baseball's return to play plan.
So yesterday on this very podcast, our future host, Pablo Torre, spoke with Dr. Anthony Fauci, America's foremost infectious disease doctor, and he had this to say about the NHL playing in Canada versus the U.S.
Well, I think if you look at the numbers of the viral outbreak in Canada versus the United States, if you look at the curve in the United States, we went up very high, the highest in the world. Our baseline plateaued at around 20,000 cases a day. And then when we tried to open up the country, as it were, we saw an increase and a surge. So when you see that, and if you're the league and trying to make decisions about what the so-called safe havens are, I think you could understand their decision.
How has it been working so far?
It's working well. And I think hockey fans, even though there are a greater number of teams in the U.S. than there are in Canada, are pretty okay with the decision. The NHL did due diligence here. There were other cities that were in contention to host the Stanley Cup playoffs.
With the NHL protocols on testing and some of the other things, the cases spiked in Vegas. There were public health concerns in Las Vegas. Vegas was out. Edmonton was back in Toronto and Edmonton, which relatively speaking have done a very good job in terms of crushing the curve.
So the NHL was comfortable going to Canada, and I think hockey fans were happy to see them wait out as long as they did before committing to where the season was going to play out.
So, Greg, you're not in the bubble, but I'm sure you've been following all the dispatches from players who are already there. How has their life been? Have they enjoyed it at all?
It's really early in the process. I can tell you that some of the teams in the National Hockey League did some very smart things for these players. For example, some of the teams put digital picture frames in the players' rooms when they arrived, and these picture frames had photos of their families on them.
Tuukka, what has it been like the last couple of days for you to be in this bubble situation?
It's a nice hotel, nice surroundings, but it might get a little old after a few weeks, I guess. But so far, it's been like a regular road city game, and we're loving it.
I will say that the NHL was very cognizant of the reaction of NBA players when they entered their bubble and started photographing the food and sending out Fyre Festival tweets. The NHL did not want that to happen. The food apparently is pretty good there. But I did have one player agent tell me recently that he heard feedback from his guys that, you know, maybe the bathroom was too small. Maybe the shower was in a weird place. Maybe the food wasn't up to snuff. And he put it out there to these guys, look, don't do this. Let's keep this on the down low. Things are pretty good right now. Let's hope they stay that way. But off the hop, don't start trashing the league just because maybe the bathroom is smaller than you're used to on the road.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but unlike the NBA, hockey players, they're not quite as friendly across teams. It seems to be a bit more chippiness. And in one of these hotels, we've got the Philadelphia Flyers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Washington Capitals all living together. Do you think that's going to cause any issues, perhaps some conflict between these fierce rivals?
Are you asking if they're going to stop being polite and start getting real, Nina?
God willing.
I want to believe there's going to be. Look, I'm an old school fan. I remember back when it used to be the Patrick Division and the Adams Division. And back in the day, everybody didn't like each other. The animosity on the ice would carry over to real life. Things have changed. A lot of these players train together in the off season. The vitriol that we usually used to see between hockey players off the ice, I don't think exists in the same way now. Now, does that mean that all these players that were photographed taking guitars under the bubble with each other are going to sit around a giant circle and have a Jack Johnson shoes off kumbaya session? I think the best proxy for what the NHL bubble is going to look like is probably the Olympic Village. There you have guys that are opponents that are seeing each other every day. They all kind of live together. They all interact with each other. Mm. But as you know, once the playoffs get real intense, anything can happen.
All right, after the break, we'll discuss how this is going to look and sound once the puck drops and who's going to win.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Greg, on one of the very first episodes of ESPN Daily, things are really coming full circle here, you and I talked about fighting in the NHL, the way players and fans get worked up together, the energy of seeing hockey played live in the rink. It's something you said doesn't fully come through on screen for those watching from home. Well, that energy is going to be missing now without fans in the seats. What will playoff hockey look and sound like?
Like nothing we've ever seen before. The NHL did a very smart thing here. They've created was sort of a made-for-TV version of hockey. The best way I could describe it is if hockey was held inside the American Gladiator Arena. They have these giant video screens and LED screens with lighting rigs behind the players' benches. There's going to be 12 additional cameras capturing the action. One of those cameras is a giant crane that's going to go over the ice and almost give us that EA Sports NHL quality swooping camera in on the face-off look that makes the game so vivid and fun to watch. The other interesting thing is going to be the audio story. We're going to have songs, we're going to have some crowd noises, but during the action, you're going to hear the ambient noise of skates and sticks and pucks being slapped around, along with the murmur of a crowd. The NHL reached out to season ticket holders with a number of teams and had them submit chants and cheers. So you might be watching a Flyers game and hearing, "Let's go Flyers," from the fans that recorded it. They also had fans record themselves getting super excited for a goal being scored. And when goals are scored, you can hear that audio being played. Now, they also had some fans record booing. And I asked the chief content officer of the NHL, Steve Mayer, "When are we going to hear booing?" And he said, "Honestly, I don't think we're going to have the kind of editorial bravery to play booing during a game if like a referee makes a bad call. However, every hockey fan knows the greatest tradition in the Stanley Cup playoffs is when Commissioner Gary Bettman brings the Stanley Cup out to give it to the winning team, he is showered with boos and jeers from the crowd. Steve Mayer told me the only time we might hear boos is when Bettman brings the cup out, because the commissioner understands this is part of the game and understands if they've got to hit the boo button just to make us all at home feel a little bit more comfortable with what we're watching.
I will boo the lack of boos if they don't do that. That would offend me.
It has to happen. It's tradition.
I imagine also that the teams playing for seeding might take it a different approach to these games than the teams playing to merely qualify for their tournament. What do you expect out of those top teams, and how much does the seeding matter for them?
No, that's an excellent point. Teams already are saying that they're going to take it easy with some players that are still working back from injury. The Tampa Bay Lightning have talked about Steven Stamkos, their star scorer, maybe working his way back from an injury. Max Pacioretty from the Vegas Golden Knights, one of their big scorers, who was actually left back in Vegas to get treatment before returning with the team to Canada. And also one of the benefits of being in the round robin for teams that have more than one capable goalie in the playoffs is they're going to get a good look at which guy they want to go with and maybe play the hot hand in the next round. But there is something at stake in the round robin. If the lowest seed can win all three of their games, well, they're going to be the top seed. And in the case of the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference, they finished 12 points behind top seeded St. Louis. In the case of the Philadelphia Flyers in the Eastern Conference, they finished 11 points behind the Boston Bruins. So despite having no mathematical chance, really, I don't think, to finish in the top seed in the conferences if the regular season had played out, they're going to have a very good chance with three wins to get the top seed and draw the lowest available seed in the next round of the playoffs.
Which of the matchups in the qualifiers are you most excited to watch?
I'm really digging a couple of teams, one veteran team and one team on the rise. The team on the rise is the New York Rangers, well ahead of schedule with a collection of good young players surrounding a MVP candidate in Artemi Panarin. He's a finalist for the award. They made him their big free agent signing last summer.
Lindgren to Panarin. He scores! Artemi Panarin with a career-high 32nd goal.
And he had a career year playing with the Rangers. They take on the Carolina Hurricanes team, which was an upstart team last postseason. The other series that I think a lot of us are looking at, even though we might not think it's going to be all that competitive, the Edmonton Oilers against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, the Oilers have Leon Draisaitl, who is a finalist for the Hart Trophy for MVP, and Connor McDavid, who's considered to be the best player in the world right now. The Chicago Blackhawks, over the last decade, won the Cup three times and still have some of those players from those teams on their roster. Your Patrick Kane, your Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith. You know, this series reminds me of the movie where the thief is trying to pull that one last heist because he's like super old. And the Blackhawks still have a few of those old veteran guys that are looking to maybe get one last crack at winning another championship.
Patrick, what is it like to be back out on the ice again?
Anytime you get a chance to compete for a Stanley Cup, you're doing that and taking advantage fully of it.
So having these veteran players, familiar faces, championship pedigree versus two young players that are trying to forge their way to winning a championship for the first time, it is a instant sellable narrative for a hockey playoff series.
So which of the Blackhawks is played by Liam Neeson in this scenario?
That would definitely be the strong silent type Jonathan Toews in this case. I think Patrick Kane is more of your Mark Wahlberg, punch a guy in the face type action hero.
All right, Greg. I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk to you as this tournament progresses, but I got to put you on the spot before it even begins. Who is going to win it all?
I am taking the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is a chalk pick in the 15 NHL experts that made picks on ESPN. 10 of us took the Lightning to win the Cup. Mm. They were a team that was shocked last year in the first round, upset in a sweep by the Columbus Blue Jackets, despite being an extraordinarily heavy favorite in that series and in the playoffs.
And the Columbus Blue Jackets complete the four-game sweep of the Tampa Bay.
That's embarrassing to have a season like that and to go out four straight.
Why I like them to win the Cup this year? Well, I think they learned their lesson last year, quite frankly. I also think that the vacuum of the empty arena games are going to affect teams differently. If you look at the Lightning, this is a psychologically damaged team. They got tense last year and lost in the first round. They've lost two game sevens in the conference final on home ice to the Capitals and to the Penguins. I think this team, playing in a vacuum away from any fan in the building, might excel better than they would playing in a normal environment. I got them in the final. I got them winning the Cup. I got the Vegas Golden Knights coming out of the Western Conference to be their foil.
I love it. I love it. All right, Greg, I will be handing over the reins of this podcast, but I'd like to pledge to return next fall to tape a special episode with you when my beloved Seattle Kraken win it all.
I accept your pledge. I look forward to it. And I also look forward to Seattle becoming a massive hockey town until the NBA comes back.
Thanks so much, Greg. Let's get cracking.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, a positive change in baseball and elsewhere.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Here's another story I want you to know. To watch baseball on television these days is to experience a sense of normalcy. And then to have that feeling snatched away from you almost instantly, whenever the camera cuts to the stands and you see the uncanny valley of cardboard cutouts, or a headline on the Chiron informs you, like it did yesterday, that the Phillies had halted activities at their stadium after a couple of staffers tested positive for COVID. Or, if you're a fan of a National League team, when you see someone who is not your pitcher batting in his place. The new normal in baseball is that nothing is normal. But it's not all for the worse. I mean, don't get me wrong, the level of change we're all experiencing is mostly for the worse, or born of desperation. But there have been flashes of things that are actually good and fun. Take, for example, MLB's new extra innings rule, which has every half inning beginning with a player on second in order to boost offense and end games more quickly. The rule has been effective at doing just that in the minors, but when it was announced, the purists scoffed, and even forward-thinking baseball types worried it would just lead to a bunt fest. Instead, the early results suggest it not only works, but has actually birthed variety and excitement. Our Sam Miller wrote that, instead of the anticipated drudgery, so far in the extra innings, we've gotten a walk-off grand slam, an unusual fielder's choice, pickle, wild pitches, odd defensive alignments, you name it. All told, of the 24 possible base-out states, meaning the different scenarios for runners and outs, we've gotten 19, and that's just through six innings. The change, in other words, is making the game more exciting and fun. So much so that many fans and analysts have begun to ask if it should be implemented permanently. And along those lines, and okay, this segue here is a little on the nose, it feels appropriate to note that starting on Monday, Pablo Torre will be taking the reins of this podcast. I will still be around, of course, to talk football and maybe even pinch hit for Pablo if he needs me. But something tells me he won't need much help. Especially because he is, and here comes that metaphor again, essentially starting on second base, thanks to the staff that produces this show. Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Yu Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vail. With special thanks this week to Russell DiNallo, Troy Farkas, and Garrett Lang. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. Pablo will talk to you Monday.